There were some warning signs, and again, I'm not here to place blame tonight, because I really don't think that's a productive thing. What I think we need to do as a membership is figure out where we're going in the future. And that's really what I'm trying to be all about here. But there were some warning signs. We went back and read, and I haven't read all these things in as much detail, but our internal auditor read the, you know, the last couple of audit reports, the last couple of examination reports from the National Credit Administration, and there is independent audit firms that come in as well. And some of these very issues of internal controls and record keeping have been around for at least a couple of years. And so this wasn't totally new. We contracted with a firm called Jones and Roth. They're out of Oregon. They're the same firm that the supervisory committee had hired last year to do the annual CPA audit. They're a firm that work with credit unions. They have a division that works with credit union in Oregon. And we hired them. The partner, Kathy McNutt, came up on fairly short notice, and we asked her to help document the embezzlement, because there's a process you have to go through to document it in order to get a valid bond claim. And so we asked her to do that, and we also asked her to investigate if it went beyond the scope of what we had identified. And there actually still is some open questions, because we're trying to get some old archive records right now to see how far this thing could have gone back beyond where we were able to discover. We also, at that time, we knew that there were serious record-keeping problems, so we did engage Jones and Roth. They had two other auditors that had been scheduled to come up to do our annual audit that were available, and we asked them to come up to simply help reconcile general ledger accounts and cash accounts to get that current. And they were available. So that's part of the people that you, there was a period of time there where we had, that whole upstairs was full of strange people, and I was one of them, but there was a lot of activity going on. It was trying to get our arms around what had happened, what was the extent of the loss, and try to get things back to where they were reconciled, to where we could give reliable financial reports. I will tell you that Jones and Roth, one of the things that you need to understand is that under the bond coverage that the board and the management has maintained there is some audit expense that it reimburses the credit union for exactly this type of occurrence. So these were pretty expensive people. We had them there for about 3 weeks, but we do expect that virtually every dollar of that will be recovered through an insurance claim with our bonding company. Just to add to the mix and to further complicate things, we had the National Credit Union Administration, again, the regulatory body, the ones that insure the deposits of the credit union and regulate us and issue the charter. Well, they decided to come in to do their examination, which was two more people on that second floor for 2 weeks. And so you don't get to tell, this is the federal government, and they were there to help us sort this thing out. And so we had that to deal with at that time. We did get through the exam. We told them our philosophy on this was, with all the employees and with ourselves, is that we wanted to share everything that we knew, both the good, the bad, and the ugly, with the examiners so that they understood what the situation was. And their process, they go through and they kind of document things that we pretty much shared with them, and that becomes the exam report that they issued. There were three big, I can't talk about, someone had asked for a copy of the exam report. I would love to make that public, I really would, but we're restricted by law, by regulation, that we cannot do that. But I can tell you that the internal controls, the record keeping, and also compliance with the federal rules were the three main areas that we need to address as part of that examination. Now, with all that said, I still want to say that the credit union is actually still financially very sound. We're very fortunate in that over the years, in the last 50 years since this charter was issued, that through the management of the board, we've been able to accumulate reserves that give you a lot of stability that many credit unions would love to have. So at the end of March, we still have 14% net worth ratio, which in anybody's book is very, very healthy. The requirement to be considered highly capitalized by the National Credit Administration is 7%. So you're more than double that requirement. We have had some outflow deposits since the first year. There's about $1.9 million less in deposits at the end of March than there was at the end of December. Now, with that said, I know there's been some people that have lost confidence in the management or in the board or in the credit union at whole that has withdrawn funds. With everything that's been going on, it's been amazingly stable in my mind. And something that's very typical in Alaska for all credit unions in Alaska is we generally get the permanent fund dividend checks direct deposited in October, and we balloon up at the end of the year our balances, and then it slowly gets spent during that first quarter. So to have $1.9 million reduction in deposits is not really unusual for a credit union of this size. It represents about 5%. We did have an increase in our loans since the first year. We've had a net increase of about $300,000 of loans outstanding during that time. The credit union remains healthy. We did just close out the March financials. We are going to record, and this is news for the board because they actually haven't seen them yet. I'm going to give them to them tomorrow night. We are going to record a small loss this first quarter of about $73,000. There's two transactions that really resulted in this primarily. One is the credit union had been a member of a corporate credit union based in Texas, Southwest Corporate. And you know, this decision was made many years ago. The corporates have served credit unions for many, many years. The corporate credit unions in this country have suffered big losses because of the financial meltdown that occurred the last couple of years. So we had to write off about $57,000 of the capital shares that we had invested in Southwest Corporate. And we took that expense during this first quarter. We also went through, and I asked the lending staff, the collector, and the loan officers that in charge to go through our loan delinquency, which is not out of control by any stretch, but I wanted them to give me their estimate of what the potential loan losses were, those loans that they felt that need to be charged off against our reserves. And so we took an expense of about $184,000 this quarter to set up a reserve for those loans. Doesn't mean they're all going to go bad, and it's just really an accounting recognition of that potential loss. So even with this, I mean, the credit union's got enough reserves to write off all the delinquent loans about five or six times over and still have some reserves left. So you're very healthy. There are definitely some problems that we have to address. As part of the exam process that we go through, they've given us some very definite time frames to get the record keeping and to get the internal controls and to get the compliance issues resolved. So that's one of, that's been a big part of my focus really since the first week in March. We've been sending small teams of people down from the credit union that I work at. We've been trying to send down at least one person each week to be on site. And we've had people from our operations come down and spend the week. We've had people from our HR to come down and meet with the employees. We have had people from our accounting staff. We've had our internal auditor back down. And next week we'll have our operations manager and a person that does nothing but records retention. We're trying to get our handle around the records retention. So there's a lot of work to be done. I know there's been, I mean, I was here at the annual meeting, and I know there's been some people unhappy with some of the decisions that led us to this point. And all I can say is I hope everybody can voice their opinion tonight, but at the end of the night, I really encourage you to try to find some common ground here. I really think the future of the credit union is at stake here if we don't come together as a membership. The board started a process several, you know, at the beginning of the year. We advertised for candidates to come in for a chief executive officer position for the credit union. I've talked with them. We had 20-some people apply, and I've talked with almost all of them. And I've updated them on the situation that we have at the credit union, not only stuff I just went through here, but also the controversy within the membership. And there's nobody that is qualified that's going to drop everything to come here to run that credit union if they're not even certain who's going to be running the show in another month or two. So again, I just encourage you, this is a passion of mine to serve people through credit unions. It's something I've done all my life. I actually have gained a great deal of respect. I didn't know all the board members. I knew some of them. I didn't know any of the staff, except for Vicki, actually. But I've gained a great deal of respect for the people that are involved. And I think it's worth the good fight to try to keep salvage this credit union so that you don't become a part of Alaska USA or Credit Union One or one of those big credit unions that like to merge other folks. So that's what I'm all about. And I think I probably have covered everything and maybe more. Again, I just welcome your questions a little bit later, and thank you for coming tonight.